should be thank you, thank you, thank you for your love and your prayers and your support for all these years, for many, many years. You've been praying and giving to our ministry. And our prayer is that the fruit will abound to your account. I want to say it was a joy to be in the Sunday school hour this morning to hear the Word of God taught. That was great. And also to see the pictures of Israel from the trip that the young lady shared with us. Thank you for letting me come back and give a report here to you this morning. And we also rejoice with you that the Lord has provided a pastor, a senior pastor that is, for you've always had Pastor Dustin with you, but a senior pastor, and we praise the Lord for him providing that for you. Well, 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse 1, and that's going to give us the context of this message. But before we begin, let me get up here. Here we go. This is going to be the subject, the cycle in the Christian life. Let me give a brief introduction. Now, before I give the introduction, let's pray. Lord, use me this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you so much for all they've done for us and their love for Jesus and the desire to get the gospel out to many others. Bless them in a rich way. I thank you that you have provided for them a senior pastor, and thank you for the faithfulness and godly example of unselfish service of Pastor Dustin. Thank you for him. Bless him and his family and the entire church family. Use your word to guide us today. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. If you wanted to grow up a Christian, think about this from the perspective of God. If you wanted to grow a believer that really was used by you, you being God, if you're God, how would you grow a Christian? Now, if you wanted to grow lemons, if you wanted to grow apples, grapes, if you wanted to grow livestock, cattle, if you wanted to grow different kinds of fruit, a plant, or animals, and produce, how would you go about doing that? There are certain things that you would do to provide the right atmosphere for what you needed to produce. But if you want to produce a good, godly Christian, what would you do? Would you answer all their prayers? That might be tricky, because they might think like they're God, and all they have to do is just ask and they get it, and you might end up spoiling them. Would you answer none of their prayers, so they really depend on you? Well, they might get frustrated and just not pray. Or how many prayers do you answer? How do you produce great, strong faith and trust in the Lord? This morning we want to study how God does that. And how God does that is what he's going to do that. The process he uses is the same for everybody in this room and the same for myself. In 1 Kings chapter 17, and I call this the cycle in the Christian life. In 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain for these years, but according to thy word. Here's the context. We're talking about a king, and the king is the king of Israel, and he is a wicked king. And in that context, and in that period of time, during Ahab's reign over Israel, this occurs. Now, the prophet is the prophet Elijah. That's in verse 1, the second word, and in, at least in my version. And Elijah, the Tishbite, was the person that God's going to show this cycle of how he grows a Christian. He's going to grow Elijah this way, and he's going to grow you. Now, there's a reason why I call this the cycle, because it's repeated. Now, we begin in verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So the first part is instruction. Can you see it up there? Is it big enough, the letters, that you can see the words? If you can't see the verses, then you should be able to follow along anyway with me. But in verses 2 and verse 3, you see the words of God. The word of the Lord came to him. So the first thing that God's going to do is he's going to give you instruction. And that instruction won't be complicated. It won't be difficult to understand. You'll be able to understand what God says, what he wants you to do. That doesn't mean that you're going to understand all your Bible and understand everything spiritually. No one does. And it's going to be a lifelong process to understand even just a little bit about our great God. But God will give you instruction. That instruction is going to be different at different times to different people. It might be the Lord wants you. You will hear maybe a message. It might be in the Sunday school hour. It might be in a personal a Bible study. You're reading in your devotions or a Bible study in someone's home. But some way you might hear it over the internet in a message you're listening to. God will give you instruction. You need to begin to tithe. You need to attend a local church and be a member of that church and serve unselfishly in a church. Or you need to forgive someone of something that they have done against you. Or you need to ask forgiveness from someone for something that you have done to them. But God will give you instruction. That's the first thing. So he says to Elijah, Elijah, I want you to go from here and go eastward toward the brook Cherith that's before Jordan. Nothing hard to understand there. Doesn't need to look up any words in the dictionary to figure out what that means. Leave here, go east, go and live and dwell by the brook Cherith. So that's the first point. Now the next point is going to be promise. Promise is the next one. In verse 4, and then it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens there to feed thee. So that's the next point, and that's in verse 4. So God, after he gives you instruction, he's going to give you a promise. Now, this is found all throughout the Word of God. You will notice that God will give you instruction, and he'll tell you what you do, you're to do, and then right tacked on behind that is going to be a promise. For example, the Great Commission, go, win, baptize, train, teach them to do everything that I have taught you, and lo, I'll be with you always. Okay? Turn your Bible, leave your finger here, and I'll just point this out to you, but remember, when you read your Bible and you see, now, it's not always, but many times, you'll see instruction, and then you'll see a promise. It's just filled the Word of God with promises. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, let's see, let's look at verse 4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So that's instruction. God wants you to be joyful. That's an order. That's a command. You can do that. You can get yourself out of a bad mood and get locked into a good attitude and a rejoicing one. Verse 5, then he also says, let your gentleness, your moderation be known unto all people, all men. Just be kind person. Then he continues it and says, the Lord is at hand. He's with you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That is more instruction. All those are instruction. Rejoice, be kind, and pray, and don't be upset. Don't be trusting in the Lord. Don't be anxious. And everything, give thanks and just ask the Lord. And that's instruction. Now, what's the promise? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's the promise. So you're going to go instruction. Sometimes instruction, instruction, instruction. And then promise. But watch for instruction and then look for promise. Okay? Now, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. So we've got instruction, and then we've got promise, and then what does God do? God gives something else. Then he waits. He just kind of folds his arms and waits to see that you obey. And he's just like, okay, ball's in your court. It's your turn. And he waits for us to obey. Now, we've got a great example here in the Word of God through the prophet Elijah, because no time wasted, went and did as the Lord commanded. In the very next verse, in verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, what do you think God's going to do after you obey? What do you think the next point's going to be? When God says to do something and he promises to do something, if you do that and if you obey, then what is God going to do? It's answerable in itself, the question. He's going to bless you. He's going to fulfill. He's going to do what he said he would do. Now, we can call this a blessing or provision. If I use the word provision, then you might be thinking of some economically. Okay, he's going to bless me economically. Well, it includes that, but it's not limited to that. It might your need or your what God's going to do in blessing you could be health-wise, or it could be a relationship restored. It could be a new relationship made. It could be wide open. But God will bless you. He'll keep his word. He always keeps his word. But sometimes his promise is built on, I'll do this if you do this. It's conditional. But God always keeps his word. Now, it would be fantastic if we could just stop right there and say, okay, close our Bibles, time to go home, we're done. But we can't stop there. Because God's going to use something else in the process to grow us and to make us stronger. It would be nice if we could end on blessing or provision. But the next point is going to be a little bit difficult for us to take. But it is what it is in the Word of God. So I can't stop here. But it's going to help you greatly understand how God works. And the next point is in the very next verse in 1 Kings chapter 17. And it's trial or testing. So God told him, let's just read the verse in verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank the brook just like God said. Verse 6. And then verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. That's the trial. That's the test. Now, here's the question. What did God tell him to do? Go to this brook, and you will drink there during this drought, because I'm not going to let any rain fall for years. And ravens are going to feed you. Ravens don't feed people. Ravens take. And ravens are they're a scavenger. And they're not going to bring it, but God's going to use that bird to feed him. And he did. And so he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, and God fed him. Just like he said, and he's obeying God's blessing. And then, boom, the brook dries up. And this is after two things. One, the obedience of Elijah. And two, great supernatural blessing. And God just provided for him. And then it's all of a sudden the brook dries up, and it's like, whoa. You told me to come here. What happened? There's no water. The ravens aren't coming anymore. But when God leads you to a test, he will lead you through the test or trial. God will never leave you in the trial. It doesn't stop there. And that leads us to the next point. And this is exactly why I'm going to call this the cycle in the Christian life. What he's going to do is he's going to lead you through this many times. He's going to give you instruction and a promise. Wait on you to obey. You obey him. Great. Provision. Blessing. And then another trial. But he won't leave you in the trial. He will take you to more instruction and keep growing you in the process. Okay? Now, I'm going to try to click this through, and we'll give you all the second verses here on the screen. So you got them. Okay? I'll just give them all to you right here. Oop, let's go back one to there. Okay, now let's go to verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee hence to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. So that's the instruction. He brought him back to instruction. Where's the promise? In verse 9. And dwell there, and behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. That's the promise. Now, where's the obedience? He does it. Right on the dime, immediately. He's a good example for us. Sometimes we don't obey, but he's going to obey. So we're going to keep seeing the cycle in a very fast way from verse to verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, there's the woman, and you remember she's gathering sticks, and it's a famine, and he says, give me a drink of water. She does. Then he says, give me a cake, some food to eat. And she says, oh, this is our last meal. I'm going to make our last meal for my son and I, and then we're just going to lay down and die because there's nothing else to eat. And he says, oh, don't worry. Make me first, and God will supply. So she does, and what does God do? And that is in verse 12, I believe it is. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God. And so he gives the instruction to her. And then in verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord Elijah, that God spoke by Elijah. And so, God graciously provided. Now, who did he provide it through? Now, I would have picked somebody else beside a widow. I would have picked, if I were God, I would have picked somebody that had a lot. But God picked a widow who's on her last meal. And it's interesting that God says to Elijah, you tell her to make for you, and then Elijah does, and she says, well, this is all I got. It's all right. He says, give to me first, and then for you and for your son. And that is not selfish on Elijah's part. That's God's instruction for this widow. And that's really Matthew 6:33. In the Old Testament. You know what Matthew, how many of you know Matthew 6:33? Can you raise your hand? How many of you know that verse? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay. And all these things shall be added unto you. Well, this is the Matthew 6:33 in the Old Testament. You put God first, and then God will supply for you and for your son. So she did. And so then God blessed Elijah. And then what's the next point? Do you remember the next point? It's right here. This is the one we don't like. Trial. Now, what's the trial this time? It's not the brook dried up. All trials are different. They may smell the same. They may feel the same. They're painful, and they're change, and we don't like them. But they're different. Sometimes it'll be finances. Sometimes it'll be employment. Sometimes it'll be family. Sometimes it'll be health. You just don't know how God is going to work. But he's going to do something in that way to push you out of your comfort zone. We don't like that, but that's the way God grows us. Because he wants us to learn to trust him. So what happened in chapter 17, and then in verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman The mistress of the house fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him, and he died. The widow's son died. This is all she's got. And so she comes to Elijah, and she says to him, verse 18, "What have I done unto thee, O thou man of God, that thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" What did I do to you? I did exactly what you told me to do. I gave to you first. God used me to supply for you. And now my son dies. And now she calls him, "Oh, man of God." And what are you calling my sins that I've done in the past back to remembrance and bringing them up and throwing them up? Is that the reason my son has died? So Elijah's got a problem on his hand. God has used him to instruct her, and he's provided for her, but then the son dies, and she's pretty upset with it, and she takes it to Elijah and says, "Hey, what's the problem here? Why are you doing this to me? Don't you remember? I'm the one that's helped you." And so he goes in and prays, and God heals, or I'm sorry, raises again from the dead her son. And in verse 19, and let me see, where are we? I got to look at my screen. 18:1. Did I skip that? "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying," now he's going to, after the trial, raises a son, gives him, what is he going to give him? More instruction. Now what's he going to give him after instruction? Can you tell me, everybody out loud? Promise. Okay. And that's in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1. "Go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain forth." And then obedience in verse 2. "And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria." And so God gave him a promise, and he obeyed. Okay. Now you might say to me, "Well, that's great, but I'm not a prophet. That's great, but I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm a mechanic. Or I'm a widow." Well, the way God does this is the way God does it in everybody's life. Nobody escapes this process, and it's the way he works. The way he did it for Elijah is the way he did it for the widow, and the way he does it for a missionary is the way he does it for a mechanic, and the way he does it for a young person or an older person or a young lady or a man. Everybody goes through the process. So where is it in the life of the widow? Okay, let's just put it up on the screen. I'll click it up there and you can see it all together. He's going to give her instruction, and then he's going to give her a promise, and then she's going to obey. So where is the instruction? The instruction is, okay, "Give me some water." She does. The instruction is, "Give me a cake, a little food." "No, I don't have much." "Oh, give me first, and then God will supply." God will supply is the promise. Look in verse, 36. "And Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God of..." No, I'm reading in chapter 18. I got to go back to chapter 17. Let me see where that is. And verse 12, "And she said, 'As the Lord God liveth, this is all I've got.' And Elijah said," verse 13, "'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." Put God first. "Bring it to me, and make after that for you and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And here's the promise. The promise is in verse 14. "The barrel of meal, of food, will not run out." And then you see what she did in verse 15. This is obedience. "So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her And she and he and her house did eat many days. So there you see obedience and then blessing. And then where's the trial? Her son dies. And from there, the lens of the camera continues to film the life of Elijah. And she passes off the scene, but she's going to keep going through the cycle just like you're going to go through the cycle. Many times. So, the cycle is like this. Instruction, promise, obedience, blessing, and then trial, and then more instruction. The key is to keep growing, is not to disobey. For disobedience breaks the cycle. It stops. It puts the brakes on, slams on the brakes to continue to grow. And it can be a very small thing. But once that disobedience in your heart is set, you just go down and down and down and down instead of growing upward. Just a little bit of disobedience. Just a little bit of discontentment, of ingratitude, or disgruntled about something, or offended about something, or just leaving your Bible off to the side. And that stops the cycle. So that's the key. Now, one time I was preaching on this, and I gave the cycle. Instruction, promise, obedience, blessing, or provision, trial, and then back to instruction. And when I did that, as I was preaching, after I got done, a young man came up to me and he said, "Oh, I got it, I got it. It's just like going around circles, isn't it?" And I said, no, it's not going around and around and around and around in circles. Think of it more like this. It's like going up in a spiral. It's upward progress. As you grow, you're going upward toward the Lord. And we have many names that we call this. It's growth in Christ, or the process of maturing or becoming more like Christ and being conformed to his image, or just getting to know God better. Different ways of looking at it. But you're not going around and around in circles. Think of it like this. Let me go back. When you go to the gymnasium, let's take a young lady. You go to the gym. And she gets on the treadmill and she's going to work out. So she sets the timer, the elevation, the degree of difficulty, and takes out. And let's say 20 minutes later, she's done. And she's wet with sweat. Where did she get to? Did she get anywhere? Is she in the same place that when she stops? Is she in the same place where she left? She didn't get anywhere, did she? Oh, no, she got somewhere. She improved in the ability, in stamina, in strength, in resistance, to be able to more stamina. Now, let's take a guy that goes to the gym and he lifts weights. And he starts out lifting weights. And he does several reps. And he keeps working at it and building up. And when he's done, what's he done? He didn't accomplish anything. He didn't build anything. He didn't improve anything. Oh, yeah. He got stronger. And he's building up strength. So that's what God is doing in your life. He's going to build you spiritually in that same way. God is more interested in what happens in you than to you. Now, don't interpret that as he's not interested in what happens to you, because he is. He has his hand on the thermostat. God wants to grow you for His glory, so that you become stronger in your faith for Him. Now, how many of you have ever... I might ask this question, and you don't need to raise your hand, but have you ever had a trial in your life? And that might be a young person saying, a trial? What's a trial? What's a test? I've never been through a trial. Well, in such a case, don't worry about it. They'll be there. They'll come. Trials are going to come. And in just a few years, as you get older, you will experience trials. But maybe you're very young and you've already experienced them. But trials will come. Now, how many of you have ever been in a trial and you're thinking, man, it's really hard living for the Lord. It's just, you get, as soon as you get done with one trial, it's another trial. Living for the Lord, just one trial right after another. Good night. That's just really, that's because you're in a trial. Life's not all trials. There are blessings, but there are trials. But when you're in a trial, you tend to think, whoa, it's just one trial right after another. As soon as I get out of this one, I get another one. But sometimes when you're in a blessing, and it's like, whoo, wow, this is awesome, man. It's just like living for God is great. It's just one blessing after another. No, it's not. It's not all blessing either. It's the perfect formula for your life. And God sends different trials to different people and different blessings to different people, but the exact thing that each one needs to grow, to trust Him. And so it's not all blessing, and it's not all trial. Now, this morning, as I'm speaking, some of us are in trials, and some of us are in blessings. Not everybody's in the same, but some of us, God's waiting for us to obey. And some of us, we have obeyed, and we're waiting for the blessing. It'll come. Wherever you are, everybody is never in the same place at the same time. And sometimes you can actually be in blessing and trial at the same time. But the important thing is, trust Him. Learn, keep growing, and keep getting to know your wonderful, wonderful Lord. But if you're in a trial, don't get discouraged. God will lead you out. He will bring you through, and He will give you more instruction. He never leaves you in the trial. He'll bring you through. And one day, He's really going to bring us through. We're going to be with Him. We're going to have sort of like a body like the guy on the screen has. It's going to be great. But in the meantime, He wants to grow you. And this is how He does it. Blessings, trials, instruction, promises, waits on you. Don't let Him keep waiting. Keep obeying. Lord, thank You for this sweet time together in Your Word. I just want to thank You for this family, for all they've done for your cause, for Your glory, to get the Word of God out to others. Bless each one. Who knows where each person is this morning? But You know. May each one grow in You and respond to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.